It's 8:02 and a very good morning. It's the Mornings with Ed show on a beautiful, bright, and sunny Monday. We've got so many things to discuss today. I've been harping since the top of the program this morning about the Orange County Board of Education having a special meeting tonight where officials are expected to recommend that schools return in the fall without the implementation of face masks, social distancing, or reduced class sizes. And that just doesn't bode with the numbers we're seeing, as currently Orange County has almost 25,000 positive cases, 423 dead. There are 675 people in the hospital, 233 of those in the ICU. These are some of the highest numbers we've seen since the start of the pandemic. And to help us sift through the garbage, we have a professional, 20 years in the industry, a travel registry, ICU, an ER, a registered nurse specializing in crisis response. Please welcome Chris Copeland. Thank you for being here this morning, Chris.
My pleasure, Ed. It's wish we could talk on better terms, and I'm glad to be able to talk with you today.
Thank you very much. Glad to have you here. I also wish we could be talking on better terms. Let me ask you right off the bat, with those numbers that we just read off from the county, I have two questions, really. Can we have confidence in the accuracy of those numbers? And if so, how close are we to overwhelming our hospitals right now?
That's a good point you had. Your number counts, everybody's been rolling out the same. We get fed from Johns Hopkins, who's kind of keeping a national track, and then the counties disperse and compare and contrast against their own numbers. Here's something I want you to think about. It's not just numbers, it's hospitalizations, and that's the true measure. So that you can weed out asymptomatic, symptomatic. Our hospital numbers are increasing.
Right.
That's cases hospitalized. I don't mean hospitalized for her toe, but COVID cases across the board in York County, Orange County, right now are on the sharp rise.
Right.
ICUs are at, in most places, or nearing capacity.
Wow. Okay, now, what I've been reading recently is that the ICUs available, for instance, this morning, the county reports that there are 39.6% of the ICU beds available. But the California Department of Public Health has the cutoff at 20%.
Right.
Needing those, I guess, for people with heart attacks or other conditions that are not COVID-19 related. So is the actual number of ICU beds available 19%, or is it even less than that?
Well, let me give you an example. Every facility is going to do something a little different. And one of the Central Orange County facilities that I've recently been working with have, how do I want to say this, in order to keep ICU operations open, they've expanded out into other areas of overflow. Let's say we're going to move another unit and we're going to expand the COVID ICU into the ER or maybe into the step down so that we can still have some available numbers. The problem isn't just the beds right now, Ed, and I want to switch that because we have a new issue. It is staffing.
Ooh.
We do not have staffing. This is where people like me come into play. New York, let's go back to April. Do you remember the all call for New York?
Yes.
Remember when Cuomo was on TV? This is what a lot of people do. Now the shift is here. During that time between April and now, a lot of things have happened. Healthcare workers have come sick.
Right.
Some have said enough of this and they've walked or they're on leave. One hospital that I'm affiliated with has over 101 RNs out with some form of COVID-related illness. Either that means they're quarantining or they're in the process of going through it. That makes sense. That helped out a little bit with those numbers. So it's not just bed count. It's the ability to staff those beds.
Wow. Okay. So I will be asking you about a couple of specific facilities here in Orange County in just a couple of seconds. But so correct me if I'm wrong. The March shutdown, when the governor shut us down in March, that was really put into effect to buy time for healthcare facilities to stock up on PPC and other essential supplies. Did that happen here? And if not, why weren't they better? Why weren't the hospitals better prepared now in July?
All right, I want to help your listeners, and I want to help the people of Orange County that are following you understand one thing that we do differently here than anywhere else in the globe is we run healthcare hospitals as a business. I don't care who you are, what you are. That means that the government, let's go back to the top, decided. Right. When this came out, that we should let the free market run the supply logistics. That means our national stockpile. So here we are, how many months later, and you're still walking into a place, and you're still getting doled out your one mask for the day, which were never intended to be used that way. And in some places it's worse than others because, again, it was all left open to our free market system, which we now have turned into a debacle when it comes to health care. Right. I hope that answers your question. In other words, we were supposed to, oh, God, this is here. It's real. Let's everybody turn and let's kick some butt and let's get this done. And now it's just become a three-ring circus for any joker out there that's selling. And now they got to weed through all, you know, does this work? Does this follow testing? Does this meet our standards? Would I be better stuffing a Kotex in my face and walking through the door?
Right.
So this is where we are. This is really where we are.
Right. It answers my question, but it doesn't make me feel any better. Let me tell you that.
No, it shouldn't make you. I'm not here to make you feel better. I'm here to tell you that this is what's still happening.
Right.
Now we have to add on top of that, there's a burnout rate where people are literally just throwing up their hands. I witnessed the other day somebody just walking on a code with a paper, basically a paper mask, and just basically said, screw it, we've got to work this. It's when you push workers to that limit where they feel like they can't stop for the safety measures because they're overwhelmed in certain areas. And yet at the same time, and I hate to run with this, other departments are furloughing again because it's all about where can we allocate the funding.
Right. So let me ask you this. You told me when we spoke over the weekend on the prep work, you had told me a story of how tuberculosis patients are handled and how many masks it takes to handle a tuberculosis case. Briefly tell the audience about that.
Well, this is what blew me away with this. I mean, and of course, this is just because we never saw this coming or never prepared. I'm going to go with the latter. If I have a tuberculosis patient in what we call a negative isolation room, every time you enter that room, you mask up, you gown up, you glove up, you wear an N95, which you're test fitted for. And every time you leave that room, that stuff comes off and gets put in the trash. It doesn't get recycled, reworn, reused, walked around with. We've thrown that reality out the window. Now, we're lagging in CDC timelines, so we're still operating on the fact that, oh, you have to, like, touch somebody for this. But there's science, and you saw, because you keep up on this, that this lingers in the air on particulate much longer than a few minutes.
Right.
So we're treating it like an airborne situation, but we're not following airborne protocol.
I get it. And it lingers 7 to 12 hours, 7 to 15 hours, something like that?
Yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. How good is the ventilation in some of these old buildings? If you saw some of these hospitals, and I'm talking in Orange County, I can't believe the systems they're still using. I feel like I walked into a third world situation.
All right, speaking of facilities here, Fountain Valley Hospital has been the focus of horrendous conditions for healthcare workers. Can you describe the conditions there, and what are the differences between them and like a UCI Medical Center or Mission Hospital?
Well, again, you have to understand Fountain Valley is operated by one of the larger for-profit companies in the country. Anytime you put the for-profit margin in there, you're going to have a layer of where funding goes. Compare it to UCI, which is a state-owned university hospital, which puts its funding plus, you know, it has donors in, et cetera. You have a different layer, but in, and not just for Fountain Valley, because I don't want to single them out, because there's a lot of for-profit hospitals in and around the counties, and they all operate on the same guidelines, minimum input, expecting maximum return. In that situation, let me just paint you a quick picture. Picture an emergency department with about 27 beds available, right, at any given time. As of this weekend, 20 of those 27 beds were holds for COVID patients, meaning they've tested positive and they need to be admitted and they need treatment. However, the admitting floors are full. They don't have the staffing. The COVID patients are roaming the hospitals to use the one working bathroom in the ER. They're mixing and mingling in between the staff. This entire, nothing's controlled. When they can get them admitted, they're mixing them on a floor where there isn't a COVID isolated floor versus a non, whereas UCI has separate actual floors because they have the logistics to handle it. That's just the cold tone fact. And there are people operating at various levels of safety because they get hit. That's a busy hospital. You threw them out there. They're probably one of the largest, you know, they were one of the largest chest pain and stroke receiving centers in the county. Sidebar for that is Orange County Fire Authority. Call volume has gone back to increasing. Majority of these cases are finding out AMA before they'll let the ambulance take him to the hospital for the same fear factor that right. we're talking about.
Right. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with a travel registry ICU and ER registered nurse who specializes in crisis response. This is Chris Copeland. If you're missing any portion of this, we will have it up on podcast. I don't know that you were listening earlier, but we've been talking all morning, Chris, about the Orange County Board of Education tonight expecting to recommend that schools reopen in the fall without masks or social distancing or even class size recommendations. Tell us about the risk not only to teachers, but the kids themselves.
Well, you might as well just go lick the windows. We talked about this briefly. We touched on it in the same sense as we talked about negative pressure rooms. Putting groups of children together for long periods of times with their teacher in any given room and with the way these are built is just asking for more trouble.
Right.
The one thing that worked and why the kids aren't so sick is because when this hit, everybody was sent home and they stayed home at that from that point on. And if you look at any daycare center data or places where outbreaks, it's when you gather for longer than 15 minutes in any given room. So I don't know how the County of Orange or their board can even entertain that idea.
Right. They just ran with the idea. All of a sudden, someone just spits out the idea, hey, kids are less likely to spread the virus, and then they just run with it. Yeah, and you're right. Kids have not been together in any large groups since early March, so we don't really know. That's something that they're running with and we have no idea about.
Yeah, you're opening a big can of worms considering the demographics of family situations and a lot of times. Let me paint you just a quick picture. In a lot of family situations, mom and dad go to work, grandma and grandpa become daycare, kids come home from school, grandma and grandpa are older, more susceptible. You're just going to keep adding fuel to the fire. These kids are going to be like little vectors. You're just turning the mosquitoes loose with the malaria on the camp is what you're doing there. And I think the impatience and watching the federal government over the weekend with the deer in the headlight look of Betsy DeVos, who has absolutely no clue what a classroom even looks like, much to get on TV and just demand that we open because of optics, because her boss may look bad come election day in a few months if we don't.
Right.
That's a ridiculous price to pay for one person's ego.
Right, right. Thank you. Well put.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about some of the hospitals that earlier in March, they chose to lay off workers, and now they seem to be begging for staff with crisis pay. How does this happen, and what exactly is crisis pay?
Well, let me back up a quick. Hospitals in this country, and this is where a lot of people sometimes just, we were taught, and I know I'm backstepping here, but that our healthcare system is the best in the world. We have some of the best and brightest, but the way we dole out healthcare is horrible. We dole it out as a business, which means when the crisis hit, all the elective surgeries stopped. So the people that are getting the hip replacement or whatever, that whole side of the industry stopped. Everybody got furloughed. Not everybody is an ER or an ICU nurse, nor do they want to be. Same with physicians. As companies were trying to watch their wallets and cut back, they started furloughing. Some people left the industry. Some people jumped up and join what's called crisis situation. There's a ton of registries.
Right.
Hospitals, it started in New York. Everybody was in trouble. They staffed up and ramped up, and they offer really good pay programs, tax exemptions. Free hotel, you can rack up some really good money if you're willing to take the risk. This is what happened in New York, and this is why a lot of people caught off and went over there.
Right.
We can make $100,000 in a couple of months. Now that New York is very stabilized, that problem now is shifting here. The Orange County hospitals, without having any more resources and finding their nurses, are having to reach out for that very thing. So you're starting to get the travelers, as we like to be called,
right,
mixing in with staff. And that in itself is problematic. You walk into a facility, you have no clue how they work, and you're trying to jump on board really fast.
So is Orange County now the Florida of California?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's funny that you mentioned that is kind of the joke about that. That's exactly where Orange County is. And I'm going to run a number by you just so that Orange County can maybe take a look at where you don't want to be. Los Angeles County, which got hit first,
right,
37% increase in all hospital workers infected, 37% up. Of that, 41% account for nurses. To this date, 57 nurses in Los Angeles County are dead because of COVID. It's a high price to pay for coming in and doing your job. Mm-hmm. And while that number, if you want to do math compared to people love to work in ratios, I always say, what's the acceptable kill ratio that we're ready to live with? Mm-hmm. Say, it's somebody else's problem. I'm okay with opening back up or going to work until it reaches what number I ask. When is it, how many of us have to go out and buy it when it says, okay, we've had enough. Maybe we should sit back and let this thing ride out.
Yeah, I think it's tempting for people to trick themselves into thinking it can't happen to them or their loved ones because it's just so abstract to them. It's not infecting them right there.
Is it my understanding that Orange County got impatient really quick and were bursting at the seams and couldn't wait to get back into the bars and the restaurants quicker than anybody else and kind of almost jammed open a little too early?
Yeah.
You see that where you are?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the governor had issued directives to how to safely open. The county couldn't meet those directives, so they petitioned the state to allow looser restrictions to open up businesses. And we didn't even meet those looser restrictions, and yet the county opened up anyway. So from what you're seeing and the numbers that you're reading, are we on our way to shutting down again? And if so, are we too entitled of a society to do it successfully?
Yeah, I would have to say it's interesting psyche on that. If you go back and compare us, like people like to do, to the pandemic of 1918, where people tended to maybe, there was resistance, but no social media, so people couldn't come up with conspiracy theories and develop deniability. And you've got a big mass of people just wandering around, just head in the sand, eyes in the clouds, and just trying to tune this out that it doesn't exist. But if you just follow the data, and so if you really want to be easy, follow the data, look at hospital admissions. I mean, going back to that, if they're up, people are sick. And one person infects 10. In fact, I don't even know if they know now. The transmission rate keeps changing because they're finding out that this thing is a little more, we're a little more susceptible to it.
Right.
But what is it going to do to each person? That's still up in the air. But, you know, again, it comes down to what is your acceptable ratio? What is Orange County's acceptable ratio? But I can tell you this, shoving kids back in a classroom with recirculating air is probably the worst idea I've heard all year.
Man. All right, if you missed any portion of this, you can catch it on the KXFM website. We'll be podcasting it up later. He's a travel registry ICU, ER registered nurse, frontliner, if ever there was one, specializing in crisis response. Chris Copeland, thank you for coming on the program this morning, and we ask you to please stay safe, sir.
My pleasure, Ed. You do the same, and it's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. 8:19 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.